two states that I know of that are using the Zoom X, which is what I am going to talk about, which is the e-reader from the National Library Service, are Tennessee and Massachusetts. And I believe Maine is also one of the states that's using it. We are technically out of the pilot program, according to NLS. However, anyone who has the e-reader and needs to share comments with them in Massachusetts can send emails to Kim or to Corey Cadlick, and either one of them will make sure they get forwarded to NLS. I'm going to go through some of the features and tell you some of the things that we figured out and some of the things that we know don't work so well. The display itself is about 8 inches long by 4.5 inches at its lowest point, 1.5 inches front to back, rather, by 1.5 inches tall. When you get it in the box, you will get a cartridge holder, and that basically looks like a cable with a square on it. And this square is what you would put the cartridge into. And the other end is a USB cable, and that would fit into your e-reader. And this will allow you to download Braille books from your cartridge onto your e-reader. There is a standard plug for charging. There is a USB to USB-C cable. There is a Braille / print getting started quick start manual, and also a Braille manual itself in the box. The device itself is a 20 cell device. It has a Perkins keyboard. It's 8 keys on the Perkins Braille style keyboard. That's the 6 keys plus the backspace and the enter key. There are 3 space bars on this device. There are 6 display keys. Above the Braille keys, there are 20 cursor routing keys, and there are 11 system keys, which are on the front of the device. The system keys are S1, which will bring you to the main menu. S2 will bring you to the main menu for whatever application you're in. S3 will bring you to the context menu, which is currently displayed. S4 will bring you to your current book in the book reader. The manual says that you can open the book reader itself and it will open into the current book. I will tell you that that feature does not always work, and I will show you the best way to do that when we get to the book reader in a few moments. The combination of the S1 and S4 keys, which are on the front of the keyboard, is a key lock, and it's a toggle key. But the reason I mention it is because if I want to carry my Braille display around and I'm reading and I don't want to close a book and I'm not going very far, I will often use this keystroke. It's a wonderful thing. On the front of the display, there are 2 square keys, and they are called Braille left and Braille right. They are functionally keys that you can use to move forward in a book, move forward in a file, or move backward in a file. The only exception for that is in reading some books. That does not always work as well as you would like if you are panning through your book and looking for something in the book. There is a middle key in this display, which has top, bottom, left, and right. And each of these top, bottom, left, and right pieces have a little ridge on them. And you press on the ridge, and the middle part is a round button, and that is your select key. It's a navigation key. I use that a lot. I find that when I'm going through menus on this, my hands are right there. I can either select or enter, but I find the select key faster. On the left side of the device, your things in order are as follows. At the very left-hand corner, there is a hole for putting in a carrying strap. Even though I don't like the carrying strap they provide, I highly recommend it. And I already know, because I've been told by somebody, that it has prevented them from dropping their display. Above that, there is an SD card slot, although this device, we are told, has enough memory on it that you could probably put all of the books on Bard into the e-reader and still have room left over. On the right-hand side from front to back, you have the lanyard key, the off button and the on button, which are two very, very tiny buttons. When you turn the machine on, you get three audible beeps, beep, beep, beep. And turning it off, you get three descending audible beeps, beep, beep, beep. And that's how you know. You can turn those off once you get used to them and you don't want them. Then there's their USB-C cable port. And then above that, you have the actual USB B port, which you would mostly use for when you download on the device. The case itself is a leather case. I wish that Executive Products had made the case for this. I think it's dangerous. It is put together by snaps, but the snaps I don't find as stable as I would like them to be. The USB slot is covered by a flap, so it's protected, and that's great. But there are two snaps at the back of the case, which hold the back part of the display in, but they come undone quite easily. Hence, I am one of the people that will say, I'm glad I have the strap on the display, because if I didn't, I would have dropped mine at least once. The following items are in the menu: the book reader, the online services, which does things like Bard and connecting you to the internet, the internal files place, which is in the file manager. And that's where, if you put files on directly from your computer or by using a USB thumb drive or by using your internal cartridge, will go in there. Interestingly enough, they will also be in your book reader, and you can access them by going into both places. The difference being that in the book reader, you'll see the file name. In the file manager, you'll see it a little differently, and you will see like the author's name or the file name itself will present differently. There is a place on the main menu where you can also see your version number as well. The D keys on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of this device are for functional things like moving forward and backward in your device when you're going through a file by character or line, etc. There are also alternative commands that you can use. I rarely use them for that purpose, but just as an example, I can pan with my five-part function key that I've told you about. I can pan with my D2 and my D5 keys if I'm reading in a book. And that's often the way I do it. In a book, you can use your big square keys, but one of the things they say in the manual is the method that you choose to do anything often depends on your hands. My hands are smaller, so I find they're too cumbersome for my hands. When I read a book, I put my fourth finger on the D key. I use my index fingers to read, but I can easily, at the end of the line, go back with my fourth finger and not lose my place to pan to the next line. Oh, let me just describe the menu itself. If I do F on the e-reader, the first thing I see is the file manager. And basically in the file manager, you will see internal files, which are all the files not on an SD card or a USB card. And if you have a USB attached to your device and you have not moved those files to device, the USB, and you can actually enter on that and look at your files that way. There is a settings area, and under settings, you'll see the different kinds. You can have book reader settings, file manager settings, Braille settings, device settings, Wi-Fi settings, Bluetooth settings, USB mode, drives for your computer, and drives for when you're not using your computer, like when you're using your device itself with the USB. If I go into book reader, I see current book, which I almost never use because I find it is not 100% reliably. That is one of the flaws. Book list, which will give me all the books I currently have on my device. Now I can navigate through that with letters, which I'm going to do in a minute. Recent books, which shows me the most recent books I've read, and exit, which would allow me to exit. Just for a moment, I'm going to go into my book reader by hitting enter on book reader. I am now going to arrow down to book list. The first thing it says is looking for books, please wait. And then when it's done, it will stop. And I'm going to do C. And I have two things under C. One is a character braille chart for grade 3 braille, which I downloaded off my computer. And one is City of Darkness, which I am going to open. I am at the point in my book where I am reading because I have not turned my e-reader off. And I can now put my finger on the PNA key and read. Nonsense. We unprotected women must stick together, Miss Hetherington said. Say I want to put a bookmark there. I can do that by hitting the B by itself and then hitting an enter, and that will put in a bookmark. If I want to close down my book and now I've turned my display back on, I'm going to get into the book, go to the beginning of the book by using chord 1, 2, 3. And now I'm going to press in combination dots 1, 2 and the enter key on the right hand side of the display. And I will see the bookmark that I first inserted for chapter 9. I don't want that one. That's not mine. I'm going to do it again. Insert my B and my enter together, and I see it. I suppose it was because. And my B and enter again, but I'll be all right. And my B and enter again, and now I'm at where I started reading. Nonsense, we unprotected. The next thing I want to talk a little bit about is downloading from Bard. If I go into my menu and I go down to online services, I am going to hit enter on that. Then I have several options: browse Bard, search Bard, wish list, user login, exit. Now, I don't want to go to my wish list because that's not what I want to demonstrate. I'm not going to do the search in Bard. I will tell you it works, but it's a little difficult sometimes because it's fussy. So if I really want to search for a book in Bard, I do some browsing in the wish list or the recent books, or I go to my computer, find it on Bard, and then I go back to the e-reader and input it exactly as it's written on Bard so that I can download it. So I'm going to go into Browse Bard. I'm hitting enter on Browse Bard, and my options are most recent book, most popular books, magazine issues, previous downloads, and exit. And I'm going to do two things. I'm going to do most popular books, and I'm hitting enter on it. And I want to find the Holy Bible, which I know is in here. So I did a T, and I've come to the first one, the 19th Christmas, the man who saw something or other, the ABCs of UB Braille, the postcard something or other, the Holy Bible. I select with that middle round button. I can now use my arrow keys on this button, and I see the title, the author, the annotation, which is Bard's description, how many volumes, 25 volumes, the book number, the BR number, 14943, the subjects, which start out with religions, notes, and the last thing is download. And if I hit download, it literally takes seconds. All right, I picked a different book, but I will do it on this one. And I am going to download. This one is 4 volumes, but you'll get the idea. And I am now hitting download with a router key starting now. And it's at 80-something%. It's download. It's done. So that's how long it takes for 4 volumes. So it's not going to be much longer than that for another book. And the book comes in multiple volumes. But one of the things that you can do, which I love, is you can go into this book. I am going to go into my book list and I have a book. And what I'm going to do is combine the volumes of it. And the book that I am combining the volumes of is called A Little Fate in a Perry Mason Casebook. So I have now opened the book. I am at the beginning of the book. So I'm going to hit S3, and now there are some options. There is reflow, top of the page, bottom of the page, page up, page down. I believe it's actually top of the book and bottom of the book, but I haven't tested it out. Find, go to, bookmarks, close, and exit. And I am hitting a space bar so that reflow is checked. And I am now going to arrow up to OK, and I'm at the bottom of the book, and all of the volumes are combined. And so what it means is if I finish volume 1, 2, or 3, it will go right into the next volume without you having to stop. The other thing that I want to just talk briefly about is when you want to bring something from your computer into the e-reader. As we said, there are several ways to do it. John and I have not tested the cartridge way. If you are going to use the cable, I will just tell you that in our situation, plugging in the cable to the computer and the e-reader, we could not get to work consistently. However, we did use a USB stick. So we copied the file to the stick. We inserted the USB into the computer to copy it. We unmounted the USB. Then we placed it in our reader. We went to File Manager. We arrowed down to USB files. Then we pressed S and we found the file that we wanted to copy. We selected it. Then we pressed S again and copied that file. Then we went back to the internal files on the e-reader and we pressed S to go down to pasting the file and we pasted it. Then you can either open either in your internal files, which I explained to you is in the file manager, or you can open it in your book reader. If you are deleting a file, you have to do it in your internal files. So it's good to get used to looking in your internal files. And I will go to my file manager and just give you an example of how they look. So the first one in my internal files is A Train in Winter. And I downloaded it. And it's my file and it's a BRF file. And it shows it because it came from Bookshare with all of the underlines in it that Bookshare usually puts in files. If I go into another file that is not a book, I will see a different format. I have a folder called Grade 3. And if I look in my internal files, it shows internal and then the first file, the number 1, because it numbers all the files, and then a slash and then grade 3. That's the folder. If I then arrow down one, I'll see internal number 2, Gentle Healing. That's another file that I downloaded from my computer. If I go to a book that's from Bard, it'll show me internal and number 3, then BR hyphen, and then the author's name with underlinings and the name and then the Braille number afterward. Now I'm going to get out of this and go into the book reader and just tell you that the difference in the book reader is when I look at my files, it will, for the most part, show the name and then you have to go into your files. So if I write C, the first thing I see is characterchart.brf. And then the next thing I see is Christ the Lord, which is out of Egypt, which is the file I just downloaded. And it says a novel, but it doesn't list the BRF number. If you're in your book reader, it will just list the name of it. So the book I'm reading now is City of Darkness. It lists City of Darkness and Light, which is the name. And then it goes to the next file, if I either pan right or down. The last thing I want to say is that for Wi-Fi, we found this particularly difficult to set up. The USB cable to the computer, we found, did not work consistently, and we haven't quite figured out why. Sometimes the panning has sticky keys. We were able to fix that on mine by just going back and forth on the panning keys, right, left, right, left, right, left, and that included the D keys, the square keys, and the panning keys on the five-part little thing in the center. And then some models have had battery issues and they've had to be sent back for repair. That's the best I can do at this time. I will tell people that one of the things we do know is we have started to experiment with this. You can hook it up to Kindle and it seems to read fairly well, but we haven't worked out all of the issues. You can hook it up to your iDevices. You can hook it up to your computer and use it that way.
I've been using mine a great deal. I haven't used all the things you have, but I've noticed a couple of things. One, I actually did delete a book from via book reader, but I did it by way of the system 3 key and arrowed down till I deleted. That did work. I don't know whether mine is a battery problem or not, but I've had several weird things where number one, when I charge it for several hours, it may say 100% or it may say 94%. It seems to be going down a little quicker these last week or so. I'm not sure exactly because I haven't taken careful timing and it's hard to tell anyway. The thing that is most frustrating is when it gets to a low point and it could be as high as the 40s or in the 20s or the teens of the battery level. It can do things like not turn off properly.
On the battery,
yeah.
Or on the charge?
The battery. I was in the book last week when it just stopped moving. I was reading, starting a chapter, and then it went to starting, and then it, as I recall, it did not go back into the menu with the book reader in it. I plugged it in and gave it a little power, and I think it worked.
I do know that if your e-reader is plugged in, it doesn't totally turn it off. You actually have to do that through the power off in the e-reader's menus. And I didn't demonstrate that because I didn't really want to power mine off, but it can be done that way. So I will also tell you that if you are powering it off on the system, even when you see suspend power off, and there may be a third option, I don't remember. It doesn't really power it off on those, but if you unplug it and your battery is high enough, it will power off correctly. If you didn't power it off from the settings menu and it's been plugged in, if you hit the on button, it will definitely start right up again. If you do not have internet access, the library can send you books on a cartridge. And if you put that cartridge into your device, it automatically downloads them onto the reader. And then you take the cartridge out of your device and you unplug the cable and you can now read your books on the reader.
The reader itself doesn't read audiobooks, does it?
No.
At this point? No.
No.
So you're saying, in essence, the library will send you Braille books on an NLS cartridge?
Yes. If you're somebody who gets confused by having an alternative way of doing something, this device can be daunting if you let it be.
You have many ways of doing it. It's sort of the Braille equivalent to Windows. I mean, you can scan through your book. I still haven't done all the combinations that I could try just to do panning through the thing. It's amazing. For what it is, it's neat because it's not just a one trick pony. It does a lot of things. It has, Braille keyboard on this thing. And I have been experimenting with this on iPhones. A lot of the typical commands you can do with a Braille keyboard on an iPhone can be done with this thing. You can go through the apps, you can change pages. I have gone into Kindle and pinned through a book. So in those cases where you, if you just don't want to listen to audio, you can look at, you know, things like Kindle in Braille. You look at your emails in Braille. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I'm not going to say it's perfect, and it may not have all the key combinations that a HIMSS device or a, you know, L Braille device has, but it does do a lot of stuff. It's actually amazing for what it is. It actually can handle multiple formats, docs files, PDF. I was surprised. I actually pulled down a PDF manual for our microwave, and it was able to read it, you know, translated the Braille and into UEB. It was really quite amazing, actually.
Now, it will not do DOC files. I suspect the format is too old. I thought it would read one, and I downloaded it just to make sure I knew how to do it from the USB, and it said, cannot open this file. I have a weird file. It's a BRF file. I could not read it on my computer, and we don't yet know why, but I was able to put it on the e-reader and go through the file and read it.
I'm also going to say that the Braille feels really good. It's not
if you're somebody with any neuropathy in your finger or any loss of feeling in one of your fingers, I have loss of feeling in my left index finger, and I can read with this device.
Okay, thank you so much, Jeanette.